your Bibles, if you want to turn to Galatians 5, the familiar verses of 22 and 23. If you recall, back before Father's Day and my family vacation, I began a series on the fruits of the Spirit that was titled, Fruit That Is Always in Season. Remember, it's been a month, but remember, spiritual fruit is simply the outward expression of the inner nature. When you see a plum hanging on a tree, you can reasonably assume that that's a plum tree. When you see the nine virtues displayed in a Christian, you can safely assume that there goes a spirit-filled Christian. Notice there is one fruit, but nine flavors. And so let's again look at these verses that many of you know by heart. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The last time that I preached on this subject, I spoke about the agape love, the unconditional love of God. And remember, I asked you to picture in your mind the person that you have the most trouble loving. For some of you, it might have been more than one face that came to mind. And I asked you to commit to prayer and ask Jesus to help you love that person and to love that person through you. Now, whether it's one difficult person or 100, Jesus can love the unlovable through you and in you. Now, today, we're going to talk about joy, the second of these fruits. I've always loved the word joy and what it means. I like the name joy. In fact, my daughter's middle name is Joy. But joy is more than just a pretty name. Joy is a powerful, positive reaction that we display when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have something valuable, something glorious to share with the world. And that, folks, is joy. Years ago, there were some archaeologists that were excavating around the ruins of the Mamertine prison in Rome. This is an ancient prison dating back to the days of the New Testament. And during the second century, thousands of Christians were imprisoned there, awaiting their time when they would be brought to the Colosseum to fight the wild beasts or the gladiators and face their execution. And as archaeologists were excavating the area around this ancient prison, they found a portion of a letter written by a second century Christian. I want you to read this. Kurt, pull this up. Look at what this unknown Christian prisoner of ancient Rome wrote as he awaited his execution. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is a thousand times better than the pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and then look at his confession, and I am one of them. Isn't that awesome? That there was a person in a bad world, an unimaginably, incredibly bad world, but God had filled his heart with joy. You see, these are grace gifts. Of all the nine virtues, as we could call them, joy is the closest to grace. In fact, grace and joy are twins. Kurt, pull up the next slide. Look at this. They come from the same root Greek word. The word for grace is charis. And the word for joy is chara. The best definition I've ever seen or read of grace, of joy is simply, joy is grace in joy. It's not complicated, folks. So today, in this message, I want to talk to you quickly about three things. First, what joy is, where you find joy, and then how you express joy. So let's look at the first thing here. Again, so simple, it's amazing how so many of us miss it. But joy is a cheerful attitude in all circumstances. There's some confused souls out there in our world, especially as we think about celebrating our nation's birthday and the Declaration of Independence. There's some confused people in this society of ours that think that the role of the federal government is to make us happy and keep us happy. Now, our Declaration of Independence does declare for us three inalienable rights that have been given to us. But I want you to remember what the Declaration of Independence reminds us. That these rights are given to us by our Creator, not by our government. And contrary to what some people assume, those three rights are not life, liberty, and happiness. They are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? And boy, don't we as Americans pursue it. Boy, we pursue it. We devote so much time and energy trying to find happiness. Survey after survey has asked Americans, what is most important in your life? And the answer always seems to come back in some form of, I want to be happy. We hear it so often. What people need is joy, not happiness. Happiness comes from the root word hap. You know what that root word means? It means luck or happenings. Happiness rises and falls with your circumstances, your situation in life. But joy is something that can remain constant no matter what happens in your life. You see, joy is that inner attitude of cheer that manifests, that reveals itself, that shows itself through an outward celebration of what Christ has done in your life. Joy is one of the most important words in the Bible. The word joy appears 158 times in the Bible, and rejoice is found another 198 times. Did you know that in the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, that there are 27 Hebrew words for joy? These folks like to rejoice. 27 colorful words to describe joy. Some of my favorite ones are to run around with delight. Another one of my favorites is to shine like the brightness of the sun. Early in the last century, some of the first missionaries that went to the Eskimos in the Arctic Circle, and they were up in the northern Alaska, and they were trying to translate the Bible into their language, and it wasn't a written language, but they were trying to translate the Bible into their language so that they could have the word in their own words. And these early Bible translators hit a roadblock when they came to the word joy, because there was no Eskimo equivalent of that in their language. So they were trying to figure out what to do with this word joy. And so they just stepped back from it and just observed life in the Eskimo villages and tried to find when was the most celebratory time in the daily life of the Eskimos. And here's what they found. They discovered that the most joyful, happiest moments were in the evenings when they fed their sled dogs. The dogs would leap and wag their tails and yelp out with joy. And they noticed that the Eskimo men smiled broadly when they fed their dogs. And so here's how a wonderful verse from Luke's gospel gets translated. Our version says, after the resurrection, the disciples saw Jesus and were filled with joy. The Eskimo translation of that verse in Luke is, when the disciples saw Jesus, they wagged their tails with delight. How about that? Joy isn't happiness. It is so much more than that. Let me give you a couple of quotes from some spiritual giants. Dr. Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Look at what Dr. Bright wrote. Joy is like the sun, always shining, even when night falls or clouds cover it. Happiness is like the moon, waxing and waning. Happiness is born in the mind, joy in the heart. Happiness comes from humans, joy comes only from God. It's good stuff. Now, the late Dr. Adrian Rogers, from Memphis, look at what he wrote. Happiness is like cosmetics. For young people, that's makeup. Joy is like character. Happiness comes from outside circumstances. Joy comes from within. Happiness meets surface needs. Joy meets your deepest needs. In times of suffering, happiness usually evaporates and disappears. But joy often intensifies in times of suffering. You know, one of the best times to check the level of your joy is not when things are going well, it's when things are going badly. When things are lousy, you'll find out whether or not you have joy. Oh, it's easy. I'm feeling pretty good here this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. It's not 115. I can smile and have all kinds of joy today. I'm pretty much in a good mood. But remember what James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3? Consider it pure joy, all joy. My brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Joy is most valuable when you find it in the darkest moments of your life. Joy is that realization deep down in your soul that God has you in the palm of his hand, and no matter your circumstances, as Jesus said in John 10, no one can pluck you out of the hand of Christ. It's knowing that security. I love the story in Acts chapter 16 that so many of us are familiar with. Remember Paul and Silas, they've been in Philippi, and they had shared the gospel, and they wound up in jail, and they got beaten within an inch of their life that night in the Philippian jail. And the Bible says that they were in chains. That's literally the stocks, you know, the wooden stocks and the chains about them. You know, the only stocks and bonds these guys knew had nothing to do with Wall Street. It was all about this. And their backs are bleeding. And remember what the Bible says? It was midnight. They were singing praises to God. Now, we don't know what song they sang, but we do know that the early Christians sang songs based on Old Testament scriptures. And maybe they were singing that night. I don't know. Maybe they were singing Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe they were singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know that song? The joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And maybe God was tapping his toe along with their song. And I don't know about you, but I've learned when God taps along his toe along with the song, we say things start happening. And the place started shaking when the earthquake came, and they came out of their stocks and their chains. And the door's open. Jailer runs in. He's going to fall on his sword and kill himself because he's lost his prisoners and he knows he's a dead man. And Paul hollers out in the darkness, wait, don't harm yourself. We're all still here. And remember what the jailer said? He'd been listening to the music and he'd experienced the earthquake and knew, they're God's God. And he said, what do I have to do to be saved? You remember what happened? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus with all your heart and you'll be saved.
And he was. And he found the joy of the Lord himself that night. Oh, folks.
That's what joy is. Let's move to the second thing. Joy is a choice to let Jesus control your life. I hope you understand at this point that joy isn't a feeling. It's a choice. Our joy comes from Jesus to the extent in which we surrender control of our personality to Him. The more we do that, the more we'll experience His joy. You see, it's not my joy that's of any value. It's the Lord's. It's the joy of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John 15:11? Listen to this from the New Living Translation, John 15:11, New Living Translation. I have told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Have you ever drawn water from a well with a bucket tied to a rope? You ever done that? I have in my childhood. And it's a frustrating thing. Because as a kid, you take the bucket and you go up there and throw it down in there and you grab the rope and you pull it back up and there's almost no water in the bucket. Throw it back down there and no water in the bucket. See what happens if the bucket kind of floats up. And it was an older person that had to tell me what you need to do, Larry, is you jostle the rope. Send a little turbulence down, we didn't use that term, but send a little turbulence down the rope to the bucket. You got to shake the bucket up a little bit. You got to lock it down on its side. And when it gets to its side, then the water comes in. All right? And then you start pulling. But how do you know when the bucket's going? Maybe you can listen. You hear the water overflowing out of the bucket. And you know it's full. That's the same way that you can know if your life is filled with Jesus. You get a little turbulence. Your bucket gets on its side and starts taking on water. What you find is it's not really water, it's His joy. And it starts overflowing to other folks. If you're looking for joy, don't focus on joy, focus on Jesus. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said, and he said it well. It is not so much the joy of the Lord we are seeking as the Lord of joy Himself. You know, when you're full of the joy of the Lord, it's hard to keep it a secret. Back during the 1800s, the 49ers did the gold rush, you know, out to Northern California. And there's a story from the California Gold Rush of some prospectors, three men that went out one day out into the hills, and they found a piece of land, and as they began to explore it and dig it and pan it or whatever it was they were doing, they found a rich pocket of gold, a rich vein of gold. Well, they hurried back into town to file a claim on that property as this is our mine. But all the way, they realized that if they came to town and started saying, "Oh, we've struck it rich in these hills, and we want to put a claim on this property," that everybody in town is going to be trying to put a claim on that same piece of property. Or they're going to be crowding in around them. So they swore a pact of silence. They wouldn't say anything about the gold. So they went into town, they filed their claim, they went down to the general store, and they started buying more equipment to get the gold out of the ground. And as they began to leave the city, they noticed they were being followed by a bunch of people. And they asked, "Why are you following?" Some of the people said, "We're following you because you didn't say anything about gold, but we could tell by the expression on your face you found something valuable and we want in on it." A number of years ago, I was a bivocational pastor. And while I was pastoring a church, and the moment I had been married too long, I was working as a in a nuclear chemistry lab at Texas A&M, and part of my job was to help supervise some of the graduate students who were doing experiments, and so I operated a neutron generator, helped them prepare their samples, irradiated their samples, helped them analyze their samples, and understand what the results of their work was. And long story short, the job, while it sounds pretty technical, and it wasn't real exciting, actually. You kind of did the same thing over and over and over every day. And the graduate students there, oftentimes, though, when I'd help them with the experiments and the drudgery of it, they would say, you know, I would be sitting around doing nothing but grumbling about this work. There's something different about you. You just seem to always kind of be happy and smiling and joking and all this stuff. And, you know, that's when I would have the opportunity then to say, well, let me tell you what it is. And I'd tell them about the difference that Jesus Christ made in my life. Is joy overflowing in your life so people can see the difference that Jesus has made in you? That's what joy is. That's where you'll find it. Let's look at the last thing. How do you express your joy? Joy is expressed in giving. Joy is expressed through giving. The best expression of joy is not a smiling, shining face. It's not dancing around with delight, hopping over the pews as you're singing the songs of joy. It's best seen in an unselfish heart that gives. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20, in verse 35, Luke writes, as he's quoting Paul, "Remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" That word blessed there is makarion, and it means literally a joyful life. If you want a joyful life, learn that it's better to be giving, outflowing, than inflowing. So let's look at four ways to express the joy of Jesus. The first one is give thanks. Give thanks in every situation. Joyful people have an attitude of gratitude about them. You know, sour people are grumbly hateful. And joyous people are humbly grateful. I had Craig read at the beginning of the service today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Remember what the Bible says? "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Remember that? Rejoice always. Joy is thankfulness in all things. Have you ever noticed that the folks who have joy are the ones who are the most grateful? Last time I preached out of this, remember I gave you the assignment to picture someone in your face, a face of someone in your mind that you have a hard time loving, and pray for that person and ask God to help you love that person. This week, take a moment. No, it's not. It's the end of November. But take a moment and write down a list of all the things that you're thankful for and give thanks to God. Think about people you're thankful for. And write them a note of encouragement and tell them how they've blessed you and thank them. You see, the more thankful you are, the more joyous you'll become. Second way to express your joy. Give away your material possessions. Uh-oh, now you done it, preacher. You know, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? You know, the word cheerful is the Greek word hilaron. We get our word hilarious from it.
Think about what that means. When you give of your material goods, and if you're going, oh, this is painful, oh, I don't want to do it, keep it. Keep it. That's your reward. Keep it. God loves the one who laughs with joy. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be able to give this or give that. You know who J.L. Kraft was? Yes, as in Kraft Foods. You ever been to the conference center at Green Lake? Wonderful facility. One of the big buildings there is the Kraft building. There's Pillsbury building. There's all kinds of things there. You know how those... Why those buildings are named that? It's because J.L. Kraft donated the funds for those things. J.L. Kraft was a committed Christian. And he came to the point of no matter how much money he made, he always gave 25% of it away to Christian causes. J.L. Kraft said this, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I've given to the Lord." Now let's move to the third way to express your joy. Give yourself in serving others. Give yourself. How many have heard what the letters J-O-Y stand for? How many of you have heard this? I thought it would be more. I honestly thought it would be more. Maybe when I say it, you'll go, oh yeah, I've heard that. Simple way to remember it. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. In that order. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is our example, right? You remember what Hebrews 12:2 says? Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. And then Jesus is described as being the author and finisher or perfecter or completer of our faith. And then there's this curious statement. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. You hear that phrase? The joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus did not see joy in the cross. He looked past the cross to what his Father was going to do. He looked to the resurrection and the ascension. Joy is God giving you the ability to look past the circumstance and see the end result of what God is doing. And so as you give yourself, you are focusing on what God wants to do in your life. And the fourth thing is, give hope. Give hope to those who need it. Joy is sharing Jesus. And the most joyous people I know are the people who share their faith on a regular basis. In fact, occasionally, I've had Christians come up to me and say, "Pastor, I've lost the joy of my salvation. I'm just miserable. I'm not happy being a Christian." You know what my first question to them always is? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? You see, when you don't share the good news of what Jesus has done in your life, you start becoming spiritually introverted. And you sit and you soak and you sour. What does the Bible say creates joy in heaven? Is it when 10,000 angels sing praise to God? That's a great thing.
great thing, but that doesn't tell us that heaven's filled with joy. If I gave $1 million to feed the hungry, would that create joy in heaven? There'd be some happiness there, I'm sure, but the Bible says there's only one thing that creates joy in heaven. That's when one soul repents, when one sinner repents and turns and puts their faith in Jesus. Luke 15:10, Jesus said, "There is rejoicing in the presence of God, of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents." So let's wrap this up. Joy is a choice, not an emotion. You can use your joy to faith your way into the emotion of happiness or cheerfulness. Do you catch what I'm saying? Not fake. Not fake. Faith your way. I'm going to end this sermon with Matthew 6:21. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Process that. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. Matthew 6:21. So, the things I value the most, my emotions will follow after those things. That's right. So, when I have Jesus as the most treasured thing in my life, my emotions will fall. And so by putting faith in Jesus, letting Him control every aspect of my personality, what happens is joy. Joy. How's your joy today? If Jesus is the source of your joy will be the same yesterday, today, and forever, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you come to faith in Jesus? Do you know the joy of salvation? Christian, have you lost the joy of your salvation? Put these four things, these four ways of expressing your joy into practice. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the end of this message, Lord, I thank you that you have given us a heart of joy, not happiness, and that joy is based in you who never changes. And so, Father, when we lose our joy, it's not your fault, it's our fault. You have never changed, we have. And so, Father, as David prayed in Psalm 51, let our prayer be, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand if you need to come pray with me.